This
is Mythical.
Ooh, welcome to Ear Biscuits, the podcast where two lifelong friends talk about life for a long time. I'm Link.
And I'm Red. This week at the Round Table of Dim Lighting, it's another mini, about a half hour. This is what we're giving you while we are giving ourselves which I'm sure we will be telling you about when we return and back to full-length episodes.
Which will be like 3 weeks from now.
Who knows what will be happening at the time. But speaking of travel.
One of the things that will be happening when we return is pushing Wonderhole.
Yeah, let's push it.
And I am so excited about the premiere of season two of Wonderhole. We got 6 episodes coming your way in starting August 24th. So every Sunday we'll be releasing
prime time episode.
6 episodes, 6 weeks starting August 24th.
It's on the Rhett and Link channel, Rhett and Link's Wonderhole. You just Google that, you'll be taken to it.
Half hour comedy.
And
that's all I'm going to say at this point.
We are doing something very special to celebrate. We have a live in-person event with us where you're going to screen a couple of episodes of Wonderhole, and then we're going to tell a couple of stories about Wonderhole. We're going to have a Q&A with Stevie on stage. There's also some VIP tickets available where you can get an exclusive signed poster and
meet and greet
with us. So that is in Los Angeles and Seattle. Tickets are available now, wonderhole.com. Wonderhole.com.
Get your tickets, wonderhole.com. Because we wanted to create an event where we could share this special thing that we've made with Mythical Beast in a theater.
We did a premiere for season one. It was very fun, but it was just friends and some, you know, industry people. And
right,
we actually had talked about doing something that was more fan-centric last year. It's harder to coordinate that because you got to find a bigger place, but we had time to think about it this year.
And it costs money, which is why, you know, you got to figure out how to sell tickets and all that stuff.
Yeah. So it's going to be a fun, mythical night.
Scoop up your tickets, wonderhole.com.
We got an update from somebody, an industry professional, who's commenting on one of the things that we contemplated or talked about in a previous episode. Let's hear that.
Hi, Rhett and Link. My name is Natalie. I work as a flight attendant, and I just listened to the Ear Biscuits episode where you guys were talking about unruly passengers. And Rhett is absolutely right about two things. Unruly incidents have gone up quite significantly over the last few years. And Rhett's comment about being looked to as someone who could help in an emergency is absolutely true. Cabin crew are encouraged to look for what we call able-bodied passengers on the flight. And that's anyone who we think we could help in an emergency. Anyone who is strong, who's fit, who's not drinking too much, who we could call on to help if we needed help with an unruly passenger or evacuations or any sort of incidents on board. So Rhett, as a big man, could absolutely be someone who could be called on in an emergency. Of course, you can decline, but he's absolutely spot on. So thank you guys for, you know, having our backs as cabin crew members and encouraging people to listen to us, because we really are just doing it for your safety. Trust me, we're not there to scold you because we like to. Okay, thank you guys so much.
Well, there you go. Scientific verification.
What about me? What? Rhett, yeah, well, I would definitely call it. What about me? I'm sitting right here. I'm sitting next to him.
Okay.
Do you really think, able-bodied.
Like, honestly, like, if somebody sees you on a plane in 2025, this is what it's going to look like. First of all, he's going to have on a giraffe-patterned hoodie and sweatshirt, full suit. He's going to have on sunglasses inside. He'll be one of the only guys on the plane with sunglasses. He's going to have a bandana that's probably over the bottom part of his face. And then the hood's going to be up at some point.
Yeah.
There may be a neck pillow. This does not look like a guy who's going to help anybody but himself. Let's just be honest.
Which I'm already doing to myself.
So I don't think you're going to be looking at you and thinking, this guy is going to help in an emergency.
You might need to call on me to get out of the way.
Yeah, that's true. I had an incident
And my toes might be out, too.
Yeah, he doesn't even have shoes on.
You can't see any skin on me until you until you scan either my hands and fingers or my toes.
The funny thing is,
this is the only skin I have exposed on a plane.
Jesse and I were on a plane coming back from the trip I was talking about to North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And we got on the plane, and there was a guy on the plane with his sunglasses on. And Jesse leaned over, and she was like, and it was, of course, it was a flight to LA, so this is not uncommon, but he was like, she's like, why, other than wanting someone to think that you're someone, why would you have sunglasses on the plane? And I said, well, Link wears sunglasses on the plane, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say it's not because he wants to be noticed. I think it's because he's vampire-like, and he wants his eyes to be shaded because he's very sensitive to light, and he wants to sleep. Is that right?
I think there's many benefits to this.
Okay.
I feel like it's a form of disguise. I know it draws attention, but then when the attention is, my hair draws attention. I mean.
Yeah, but when you have sunglasses, when I looked at the guy.
Yes, it draws attention, like you have on sunglasses, but then you can't fully tell who it is under the sunglasses.
I don't know if that's true. I saw this guy and I was like, he's a celebrity. He's a celebrity. He has on sunglasses on a plane. And now I'm trying to figure out who he is. And otherwise, I wouldn't be trying to figure that out. So I don't know if that is an effective strategy.
But what you're not going to do is, you're much less likely to approach him.
Well, that's true.
Right?
If that's your goal. Yeah.
Yes, that is one of my goals. I mean—
You don't want to be approached.
You get— In the morning, traveling, you get all these pictures taken of you.
I don't care.
You need to send a message that it's too early. You need to be left alone.
But what am I trying to protect? Pictures of me at 5 a.m. on Reddit looking like a 47-year-old man is not, it's the truth.
That would be up to you.
I was at the airport at 5 a.m. and I'm a 47-year-old man.
Right. I don't.
If there's evidence of that, pictorial evidence, I'm fine.
It's not that I would look horrible. It's just that I don't want to engage with anybody. So it's a message that is effective. Also, I don't like people knowing what I'm looking at.
Oh, okay.
I like for my eyes to be closed. You know, I could also put in earbuds, which I do that a lot.
Mm-hmm. You're kind of like a world poker tour player who's not actually playing poker.
Yeah, I'm just traveling.
Guy with a hood, sunglasses, and earbuds, but he's just traveling.
Also, my sunglasses are prescription, and it's just hard to switch my glasses. I get annoyed switching my glasses around all the time.
What about, what do they call it when they change
inside? It is bright, and it makes it easier to sleep.
What do they call it when they go? They adjust.
Transition.
Transitional lenses.
Yeah.
You had those for a while, didn't you?
Never had that.
Okay. Well, I had something happen to me on that very same flight with the celebrity, who I don't know who he was. There was a woman seated across the aisle and then up against the window, but on my row. So I'm on the aisle, and then across the aisle, there's a dude, her husband, and then she is up against the window.
Okay.
First thing I hear.
Who's beside you, by the way?
My wife.
Okay. She's on a window.
She's on a window. Yeah, I'm an aisle guy.
Okay.
Big. Legs go out to the aisle.
Ready to help.
Ready to help with anything. Ready to trip up the cart.
Yeah.
I hear a noise emit from the phone, a notification sound, but not exactly a recognizable notification sound. But then I hear something else. I hear a voice coming from the phone. It's in a different language. And then I hear the woman repeat the thing that the phone said. And then another ding. I am familiar with how Rosetta Stone works because, as you know, they are a sponsor from time to time. I use the app when I feel enthusiastic about learning Spanish, which just comes in waves.
Yeah.
I can't say comes in waves in Spanish. It's just, that's how far I've made it. I can say... I walked into the kitchen the other day, and my wife was drinking some water, and I looked at her and said, "Ella bebe," which is the woman drinks.
The woman drinks.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
"Ella bebe."
The woman drinks. Who are you talking to?
I was saying the only thing I could say in that situation, which is the woman drinks. It just happened to be my wife was the only one there who is the woman who's drinking.
So you're learning Spanish observational parlance.
Yeah.
The woman drinks.
It might
the table is flat.
It might be she drinks. I think it's she drinks. She drinks.
So now you're telling me that this woman on the plane is using Rosetta Stone.
Yes, loudly. And the plane has not taken off yet. We are taxiing. But she was doing it at full volume for... So the first minute passes. I see her husband look over at her. But he looks over at her, and then she says back to him, "That's a difficult one." And he's like, he's not telling her not to do this. He's not saying, "Honey, not right now." So he's not helping.
What?
And it's loud. Like, it's if you get it right, ding! If you get the, you repeat
that
it right.
Pierces
yeah.
The entire cabin. And she's doing multiple of these.
Yeah, and I'm like.
She's trying to keep her streak alive or something.
I begin to think to myself, first thing I do is I size the husband up. Because he's in between the two of us.
Mm-hmm. And if you're going to grab that phone from her,
right,
you're going to have to contend with him. Yeah.
So I think to myself, okay, how long am I going to let this go on before I am the one to say something about it? Because what I have found is while between the two of us, I'm not the first one to stand up and say something in a situation like that. I'm not the first one to stand up and tell somebody in a theater, turn around, tell them to shh. Or, however, what I have found is that in the general population, if you don't happen to be there, I tend to be the first to act in these situations. Somebody cuts in line at Disney. I say something to them. Somebody gets loud at a theater. If they do it one second time, I say something to them. Like, I tend to do that. And so in this setting, I thought,
I would like to think that I've influenced you.
I'm going to have to be the guy to do this.
You're a big guy. You're capable. You haven't been drinking too much.
But then I was like, what am I going to say? So I started to brainstorm potential ways in.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you thought about learning something in Spanish.
Well,
to say.
The first thing I thought was, there's a funny way in, which is like... excuse me. I enjoy learning Spanish too.
Yeah.
But I couldn't think of the second part.
The other part's
the second
important. Part. Important.
Yeah. It was going to be something funny.
Yeah.
I moved on from that and said, that might seem a little too confrontational.
As a comedy writer,
yeah,
which you are, you know, I think that that could be disappointing, but I do think that's a technique. Sometimes you're just writing, you want to stay in the flow. So instead of writing a joke, you say, joke TBD. And then you just keep going. That's kind of what
I knew there was. It was a setup for something. But then I was like, maybe what I'll say is, well, then there was another one that was assuming that she didn't. At first, before her husband leaned over, I thought maybe she didn't know. Some people think that they have headphones in and they forget.
Yeah.
So, hey, did you know did you know how loud that was? Or like asking a question like that. That was another strategy. And then what I landed on was, excuse me, could you turn that down?
Okay. And you said that?
No, because.
No?
No, because she stopped.
Oh, she stopped.
3 minutes in, to this process, she stopped. Wow. On her own accord.
Could you tell other people were looking at her?
Well, the moment it started happening, I started doing the thing where I'm trying to find the person, like to commiserate. Like, y'all believe this? Y'all believe this is happening?
Yes, somebody else who's noticing.
And I thought, I was just thinking about what would happen, you know. For sure, I would not have let it go on into takeoff. Like, if it had continued through taxi and takeoff, and she was like, okay, this woman is just Rosetta Stoning this whole flight.
Yeah.
I would have nipped it in the bud for sure. And, you know, I don't know how her husband would have been, but it could have been an unruly situation. I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'm not going to fight somebody over it. But it's ridiculous do stuff full volume on your phone on the plane. Why is this still a thing? Why is this still a thing? On the flight there was a guy who was watching Instagram, TikTok, whatever, looking at it full volume.
Yeah, full volume.
Like, I mean, have you not ever been in a situation where someone else was doing that?
You're waiting for a flight. Or you're just in a damn deli, and you hear somebody watching a show, and you look over, and there's somebody either seated by themselves or sitting with somebody they're not talking to. They got they're eating their lunch. They got their phone propped up with the speaker on, and they're just watching a show. Loud. The people who watch stuff on their phones, and the audio goes into the room, they do it very loud. I don't know what, there's some correlation between not being able to hear well and deciding to do that in public. They just don't think that it's getting to anybody else.
Yeah, is that what it is? That might be, in their world, they don't ever hear these things. There's a lot of people like that who just, these things are just tuned out. They don't know the things that are happening around them. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt because I'm not saying that they have no empathy. They have no ability to actually put themselves in someone else's shoes.
There's no awareness. It's just awareness. And it's hard. It's hard to know what to say. I think maybe the best thing to do is to ask the flight attendant, you know, could you say something to this person? They're doing Rosetta Stone.
That's a good idea.
You stay out of it. Because you're at risk of being the unruly passenger.
I totally forgot about the flight attendant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally forgot about the flight attendant.
Somebody with actual authority to do something, have some weight behind their words. All you are is a big man that might be scaring a woman who can't hear well.
And then the husband, most men would feel a need.
Right.
Even if my wife was doing something that she shouldn't be doing and another dude says something to her, I'm going to feel this like protective instinct. So a flight attendant, that's the thing. I should have thought about that.
Yeah, you got to work through the flight attendant.
You know, while we're doing
this. You don't want to be unruly, man, because, as we've heard, it's happening more. People are just on edge.
People are going crazy, man.
I think that's just what it is. People are on edge.
Well, the world is on edge.
The world is on edge.
While we're on this subject.
Rightfully so, by the way.
Well, yeah. While we're on this subject of, like, PSA, I think it's time. I got two more. And I think we've talked about one quite a bit. I think from time to time.
Speakerphone? We talked about that?
Yeah, so I'm saying there's another one we've talked about a bunch. And then there's a new one that we may have talked about a little. But I just feel like it's time to it's like crop dusting. From time to time, we have to just crop dust these PSAs because I just feel like it makes the world a better place. Mm-hmm. So we just covered that one. Do not listen to anything on your speakerphone in public.
Period.
Do not have a speakerphone call with anyone in public.
It's easy.
Stop doing that.
Don't do it.
Never do it.
Don't do it.
Never.
There's
do
a
it.
Hole at the top of your phone and you can put it up to your ear.
Good God. What is wrong with you?
That's still a part of the phone. And then when you put it up to your ear, it blasts whatever you want to hear right into your ear hole. That still is a part of your phone. The thing that blasts it everywhere. And then some of it gets caught by your ear hole, it's actually not working as well. And it's bringing everybody else into your business. Use the little hole and put it up against your little hole.
Yeah.
It's still part of the phone.
Use the little hole.
I believe that people don't know it's a part of the phone.
Second thing. boys who are growing beards.
Oh, boys.
Okay. Men. Okay, whatever. People who grow beards. The way you figure out where to start your beard and start shaving, the line here, okay? The way you figure that out, okay? And this is coming from a man who does not have a chin, but can still do this method. You take your finger, and where your neck hits your chin. So your chin is going back, and then it hits your neck at some close to 90-degree angle, right?
Well, maybe not.
Whatever, it hit at an angle. That spot is where your beard should be shaved to. If you have a really long chin that has like several inches between your chin and your neck, there should be beard all on the other underside of that, right? You do not look at your face and see your jawline and then shave your beard along the jawline. You do not do that.
Because you don't want to
not do that.
You know you've done wrong when you look up and you see this white horseshoe.
I'm not even going to explain why. But if you just go look at pictures of people who've done it right and done it wrong, you tell me which one looks better.
What if you have some neck weight? What if you have, like, down here below the chin, it just, you kind of got that.
The technique works best for everyone, regardless. Now, if you have...
So what if it doesn't go straight back? What if it goes down like that and
You got to find it. If you have a lot of neck weight, if you got a fat neck...
You're still right,
this is,
by the way.
It's harder to find that because of the fat, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't try. But you still gotta do it.
And you want the beard to grow on the fat, and then because then it just feels like more beard down there. And then if you grow this down, you might want to cover
it
up some
of that.
It
works regardless of your face shape. It works regardless of how much weight you have on your face. And here's the line is from that to the corner of the jaw is where you start, and then the line goes to that spot. It doesn't go along here. It goes to here. Make the change. And first of all, it's hard. It's hard to make changes. It's hard to change your hairstyle. It's hard to change your beard. Just do this. Trust me. Do not think about it. Don't even look at the picture. Just start doing this. Start doing this, and you will, if you're a 7, you'll become a 9.
I don't know why this one makes you so upset, though, honestly, because it's not like the speakerphone thing. I mean, how is it impacting you?
I'm still upset about the speakerphone thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's using the anger from the speakerphone
just
thing.
Just do it!
To help the bearded
just
guys.
Just do it! Third thing, you gotta work on your breath, people. We talk about this all the time, but I just keep encountering it. And so I feel like the message hasn't crop dusted far enough yet.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a tongue brush, you should invest in one now.
Invest in one.
Your toothbrush.
Diamond plated.
Your toothbrush is not an adequate substitute, I don't believe. A tongue scraper, tongue brush is what you need, and you need to do it every morning. Every morning. And you go deep. If you have a gag reflex, get over it. Because you will eventually train your body to take it. Okay? Like, if it's hard, you'll get over that. I had a gag reflex. I would brush my tongue every morning, and it would... And then eventually, my throat was like, I guess this is going to happen every day. I better get used to it. You can adjust. You can get used to things. Do that. And then the second thing is if you don't know that you don't have bad breath, you probably do have bad breath. Okay? And so the next thing you need to do is you need to get some hydrogen peroxide. You need to mix it one-to-one with water. And you need to gargle with it.
Yeah.
And you need to do this once a day for a week.
You want to gargle deep too. You want to make that low note.
Get low. And then the second week, do it 3 times. Then you can probably go down to once a week. And then you can go down to once a month. And then honestly, once the bacterial balance of your mouth gets right, you don't have to ever do it again. Like, I haven't done hydrogen peroxide in several years.
So, I love the fact that whenever we do talk about this, it feels...
It's making a difference.
I feel like lives are changing.
It's making a difference.
You're right now listening to what Rhett has said, and you're thinking about it. But you're about to forget about it. You're about to move on to the next thing, because we're about to move on to the next thing.
And if you're a guy.
But don't.
Listen.
Just matter of fact, just stop right now. Go get you some hydrogen peroxide.
But
and get you some water. Hopefully you have some of that where, you, yeah. where you're at. And
you can
then,
do it straight, but I wouldn't. You can mix it. Think about it.
Do it.
Statistically speaking, there's a guy out there right now who is currently having all of his conversations on speakerphone and listening to shows. He also has his beard cut right on his jawline, mm-hmm. and he has bad breath. Like, think about it. That yeah. that might be 1-2% of the population, but it's a type of guy.
And if you and, if and you're
you
that
could
guy,
change all three things at once.
Revolutionary.
Holy shit, you're going to be a whole different person. You should change your name. Like when you go to college and use a different name, you should do that.
Oh, like a nickname, yeah, but like legally, that's hard.
You don't have to legally do it. I'm just saying, like if you're a Tom, become a Tommy. Thomas. I don't know. Just change it. You know, Big Tom. I don't care what it is, because now you're going to look better, you're going to smell better, and you're going to sound better. And this may all seem like it's superficial and unimportant, but the thing is that we share this planet. We share mm-hmm. these planes. We share these public spaces. Mm-hmm. We share the same space, and we breathe in the same space. And occasionally I have to look at your face and think, why is the beard there? Why is it there? Why is it there? Why? Who came up with this?
Excuse
who decided
me, sir.
That?
Why is your beard there? I'm an unruly passenger, and I'm here to ask you, why is your beard there? Feisty.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I just feel like we got to make do some. When you feel like you can't really do anything about the big problems in the world, do something about the small ones. Mm-hmm. That's what I say. You know what I'm saying? I can't avert World War III, which who knows where we're at when this comes out.
This is why I bundle up on a plane, just to not see or engage with any of these people doing all these wild things.
Yeah, okay.
And yes, I then become someone doing a wild thing, but I'm quiet about it.
I don't think what you're doing is it's annoying.
I'm not touching anybody. I'm not annoying anybody. It's a wild thing that I do, but it is wild and self-contained. Be as wild as you want as long as it's self-contained, right?
Yeah. I just think the only with what you do there is
wild and self-contained.
It's about
that's the line for me that I do cross
perception. It's just about how are you going to be perceived and is it actually working in the towards your goals, your perceptual goals.
I'd say yes.
If it's to not be noticed, you're not doing it's a not great
to
job.
Be, it's not to be engaged.
Okay.
To disengage and also not to see or smell or hear what all these things that other people are wilding out about. Listen, people are going to be wilding out. That doesn't mean you have to crash out.
Yeah.
To use the parlance.
And the last thing I'll say is that, listen, I had bad breath. That the reason I'm passionate about this is I had a year of bad breath, and I didn't know what to do. It was halitosis. It was my early 20s. Early marriage, mid-20s probably. And I tried a lot of different things, and then I found the hydrogen peroxide and the tongue brush.
And Jesse didn't complain about
and
it?
And I also, believe it or not, at the time had a chin strap that was more or less run along my neckline.
Yeah,
my
had all this.
My jawline. Yeah, I have made these mistakes. I say these things as someone who has suffered. Now, I've never done the speakerphone thing. I've always, because I just felt like
I've done the speakerphone thing, but only if I have a real dirty face.
Okay.
I just try to avoid talking on the phone, too.
So, I've been there. I've struggled with these things. But they can be overcome. Your life can be changed.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything, any other little tips we have that makes people.
What do we got right now? What do we got?
I think if you're, what do we got?
Yeah, what do we got? Like, what else have you seen lately that you're like, why is that person doing this and how can I help them?
I mean, when I talk to middle-aged people, I have really become an advocate for stretching. Which, to your credit, is from you.
Okay.
So, if you are 45 or older, you need to stretch every morning. It needs to be the first thing. I've actually gotten to the point where now I'll do a pre-stretch. When I wake up, I'll do a little stretch in bed before I get out of bed. Because getting out of bed is one of the most common causes of accidents in the home. for middle-aged people.
It's true.
I mean, that...
Whether it's true or not, it sounds
that
true.
That wonky twist and turn and throwing your legs out, boy, it's like...
You're
going to find out how old you are if you don't, if you're not a stretcher.
And people are anti-stretch, especially men. There's some sort of toxic masculine thing that happens where it's just like being able to touch your toes is not cool or something. I think maybe that's changing a little bit with fitness stuff, but us growing up, like... If you...
You can touch your toes!
What are you, a woman? You know, like, right. I think there was just some anti-stretch bias that hopefully we're overcoming.
He's right. Y'all women have been free to stretch.
I'm not kidding.
Forever.
Especially Southern men.
Us men have had it hard. We've had to stretch in secret.
That could be really difficult. Yeah.
Us men... We've had it so hard.
Did that not sound sincere?
But so many problems will be solved. Your back hurts right now? Stretch. Get those hammies loose. Get those hips loose. Get your quads loosened up. You would be so surprised at how things can change for you. I mean... I'm not gonna tell you that you should start wearing barefoot shoes because
I've talked about that.
But I feel like I gotta have a brand partnership with somebody because my life has also changed in that regard. Last night I went on a walk with my wife, probably a 3-mile walk, and I wore those dadgum leather weave shoes that I've got now, you know, the ones I've been wearing this week, my summer
sandals.
Shoes. Yeah, they're sandals and they have no support at all. And I did a 3-mile walk on concrete with them because my feet have completely adjusted.
You said you weren't going to talk about this.
I'm just saying, I'm not going to tell you that you need that, but I'm going to say you need that.
We've done so much good. If you'll just listen, just take a risk. Just make it an experiment. Don't tell it. You don't even have to tell anybody.
Yeah. This is all just you making decisions.
You don't have to call us and tell us, but thank you, flight attendant, for calling us. And be safe out there. You know, let's de-escalate a little bit. Let's put on our sunglasses. Let's wrap up in a bandana and a hoodie. Well, let's not get creepy.
Have to prescribe that. Yeah, if everybody does that,
let's just de-escalate.
We'll no longer connect with each other.
Let's de-escalate and keep quiet. In public.
We'll see you next week for another mini. In the meantime, keep calling in, asking us questions, giving us updates. 1-888-EARPOD1.
I will say there's certain things. Well, I won't get into it. Okay.
Next time.
I think we're done. Is it over?
Yeah.
I think you were in it.
Hi, Rhett and Link. I just listened to your short and sweet summer episode where Shepard calls Rhett about hiking in the woods and getting his boots all dirty, and Rhett went full dad mode preaching about ticks, and I so appreciate that. I am getting my master's degree, specifically studying ticks and tick-borne diseases, so preach protecting yourself. Do TSA checks for ticks on your body. Keep yourself safe. Love you guys. Bye.